This Black Friday, get 6 months free when you move your WordPress sites to Kinsta. Enjoy faster load times, no stress when traffic spikes, and hosting you can actually count on. We're G2's number one rated host for WordPress. For a reason. Visit kinsta.com/BF. That's KINSTA.com/BF. Don't miss out. Offer ends December 2nd.
This is The Joe Gaither Show on BamaCentral.com.
It's just you and me right here on The Joe Gaither Show. We're live here at SEC Media Days. Can you see it down below us? We are on the top floor, Radio Row, trying to fit in with all the other radio cronies. This is The Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central, BamaCentral.com. Out of the hotel, into the College Football Hall of Fame.
Hey, we're official now, right?
Absolutely. Follow Theo Fernandez at Theo Fernandez double underscore. He's got all kinds of great tweets. Theo's, man, you've been doing such a good job listening to the coaches and banging out their quotes real fast. I'm not good at that. Do you have an auditor? Are you using an app that transcribes it and copying and pasting? Because I've seen that technique, but I don't have the same software on my phone or on my computer.
I got the best app ever created right here. You listen, you pick out, you find a place where it gets good. You remember as much as you can, you type, and then you go until you can't anymore. That's all I've been doing. Now, if people are actually reading the tweets, it would make it a lot more fun. But you know what? I did a lot of work on X. I've been trying to get a lot of views, and I post 20-second, poor-quality video of DeBoer walking up with the Alabama in the background. It's my second most liked tweet ever. That is how that machine works. But it's fun. It's fun to get those out, and I've gotten some good responses from people because we want to keep you all informed on everything that's happening. Because there's so much cool stuff that goes on right below us where all the magic happens.
Let's get a temperature check on you, Theo. This was your first SEC Media Days. We are now really at the conclusion of day number three. Man, are you feeling okay? How are you feeling? 3 days, 4, 8, 12 teams down, 4 more tomorrow. Where's Theo Fernandez, 1-10? How are you feeling?
Dude, this was a blast. For the way it started, feeling sick to where I am right now, man, this is about as good as it could have gone. I'm going to give it a 9.5. I've had the time of my life here these 3 days.
It is really a blast. It's the who's who of media. So you get to rub shoulders with a lot of people, shake a lot of hands this
just
morning.
Just casually turn around and like, there's Paul Feinbaum walking behind you.
Have you spoke to him yet?
I have not, but I will make sure to do that tomorrow.
Do that. Catch him in a break moment. Last year I did it. Super, super nice. Now that hasn't turned into anything, you know, of work needs, but he was very, very nice last year. And I know he'll stop and talk to you just any time. He'll be happy to speak with you. Our old colleague, Austin Hannon, used to go on a show, BamaCentral.com, so that might be a way for you to become a regular guest on the Paul Feinbaum show.
Well, you know, they let the Crimson White people go. That's
how they got Austin started.
Yeah, it's a sore subject with me, Henry Sklar, you know, we're like, come on, man. Not to diss them.
We don't diss any media.
They get a lot of great opportunities to go beyond that.
Absolutely. We're here on, what day is it? Wednesday. We don't care what day it is. It's Alabama Day.
It's Alabama Day.
Kalen DeBoer walking through the car wash, talking to everybody. We got a little bit of chance. I got a little bit of time with him in a scrum style. You're seeing that on my Twitter right now where I asked him about the specialist. I told you guys that was one of my biggest questions. And Theo got right in there and asked him about going to Keelan Russell's sister's funeral and why that was important for him to do instead of recruiting. Because I think that Kalen DeBoer is really laying the foundation of a family-type program. You know, everybody goes around, we're a family, we're a work family, but I think Kalen DeBoer is really living it. And just to set aside the really high-level need of recruiting and opt to go to Keelan Russell's sister's funeral. Coach DeBoer highlighted a lot of the players that went to the funeral as well and what Keelan means to the program, not only as just a superstar quarterback, future superstar quarterback, but as a person. I think that really this year compared to last year with Coach DeBoer, coach seemed a lot more comfortable in his role as the Alabama head coach. What was your initial takeaway? So we had that time with him up here before the main media. Then he goes downstairs, and both of us also got a good little question in also. So great job. Two for two in our opportunity to talk to Coach DeBoer.
And none of those questions were about the quarterbacks.
Thank you. I could give you so many cookies. You want me to buy pizza tonight when we're at the hotel?
Hey, we've been eating the media day hot dogs. I'm very satisfied. I'm eating good today.
What was your initial takeaway from Coach DeBoer? We heard a lot from him.
Yes. You know, look, I think that he seems, and I wasn't here last year and hear him talk here, but I did hear him talk throughout the season, and he just seems so much more comfortable. It seems so much more natural for him this year. And then you look at some of the stuff the players said too, like Tim Keenan talked about, and Caden Proctor did as well, about the team being way more bought in to DeBoer now. Not that they weren't last year, but that everyone who's here knows exactly what's coming and they're all ready for it. And you look at, like, when I asked DeBoer about going to the funeral, it's not like there's nothing to defend there. It's second nature to do that. That's what a coach like him
does
for his players. Mm-hmm. Right, and he is human in every way. And not that other coaches aren't, but DeBoer is really running the program the right way. And this was just a reinforcement of that fact that people in Tuscaloosa have known for a couple months now.
Yeah, so I'm going to get to your last comment before your answer. We didn't ask any quarterback questions. Obviously, quarterback questions asked, but you got the same exact answers that we got at the end of the spring. Nothing has changed from when Ty Simpson was, if we play a game tomorrow, he's the starter. Nothing's changed since then. The only thing that's happened between spring camp, 8-day ending, and now, which is what, 2.5, 3.5 months?
Yeah.
Roughly, is more time for Ty Simpson to ingratiate himself as the leader of the team. They haven't done any real practice. Obviously, they're throwing, they're getting warmed up, they're getting timing and chemistry down, but it's not been official practice. I was not surprised by the quarterback questions, but I rolled my eyes at every single one of them. And then I tweeted out that they're pointless. Yeah. I said, it might be me being a fuddy-duddy, but they're pointless at the moment. Like, you didn't bring Ty Simpson here because you still want him to go out there and earn it, and you don't really want him to get all kinds of questions, just that you get at SEC Media Day. But I think that Ty is still the guy, and I think that he's the guy until he can't be.
And I would agree with that. And I would also, we've talked about this obviously numerous times on the podcast, as I know you have with Mason as well. But I would say that while, yes, technically speaking, there's a world in which maybe Ty Simpson things fall apart over the next couple weeks once they start practicing, I think the chances of that happening are so much lower now than they were a few months ago. Like, I just, every single thing you hear, whether it's, you know, the team posting a picture and, you know, it's Ty Simpson taking all the guys out hunting, or whether it's when you hear...
I didn't see him in that picture.
Yeah, was he not in that picture?
I couldn't see anybody in that picture.
I was told he was in that picture. Maybe this is just a false flag, but I thought he was in that.
I'm making a dumb camo joke. All the whole team was wearing different shades of camo. My girlfriend hates that joke. I make it every time she wears camo. Where'd you go?
I think I hate that joke too, Josh. That one needs to stay on the back burner. I think your girlfriend is very right on that take. However, with that being said, you know, Ty Simpson,
he was right there in the middle.
He was right there in the middle.
Man. With his camo shirt and camo pants. I couldn't see him.
I'm going to wear camo one day to this recording. With that being said, I think Ty Simpson really has just stepped up as a leader and a guy that Alabama should feel good about. And this reinforced it because, while not an official starter, everyone officially views him as the starter. That is the way that I would put the state of the situation right now.
So we're hanging out here at the College Football Hall of Fame. We've addressed the quarterback just a little bit because that's all there is to it, in my opinion. It's Ty Simpson's job until he's four drives into the Florida State game and you haven't got a first down yet. I mean, I think that's what the bar is. You got to move the ball in the Florida State game adequately. You can't be looking like a chicken with your head cut off. And it, as long as he continues to grow week by week by week by week, I think he's going to have the job. I mean, look, Keelan Russell is really, really talented. And I think we're all excited to see him play. But for now, we are very much in a Bryce Young, Mac Jones situation. I think Ty is going to play better than Mac did and be more dynamic than he was. But I just don't see Keelan Russell getting his opportunity unless it's unless Ty Simpson just absolutely crumbles in the early part of the season.
Agreed. Now, one last Ty Simpson comment, and this is going to be much to the chagrin of Dax, who will not like this at all. Ty Simpson not on the ballot, not even an option to vote for.
No, that's not true. Really?
Yeah, no, he is not there. I filled out my ballot earlier today, and he is not on the list. You have about 10 QBs, somewhere between, I want to say like 8 to 10 QBs. I forget the exact number. Joe is double-checking right now, but I filled it out earlier. He is not on there.
Now, I don't believe you.
The SEC ballots, they were interesting. There were a lot of Bama guys represented. A lot of Bama guys will receive votes. And I will say those ballots were very fun to fill out, as Joe still does not believe me and is going to fact check me right now. There is no Ty Simpson on this list.
Now, come on. Now, he's going to be better than Diego Pavia. He's going to be better than Blake Chapin.
I can't believe they're going to put Austin Simmons on the list.
Is this just because these are the quarterbacks that we know are starters? Oh, yeah, yeah. But you can only vote for two, right?
You rank three.
Three. Okay, so Arch Manning.
I went Arch Manning, then
Arch Manning.
Then Sellers, top three. The ballots are fun. I'll be posting my ballot on social media at some point.
I do want to see your ballot, and I need to do mine tonight. Before we go to sleep. I think they're due tomorrow, right?
Yeah, they're due tomorrow night. One of the guys who I did vote for on the ballot, not to take control.
Go, please.
Really, one of the more impressive things from me today was Tim Keenan and just the way he spoke and the way that he has so clearly emerged as the main leader of this defense and maybe even the team as a whole. Because I'm in the process of writing, an article about him as we speak, so it's all fresh in my mind. But he really, just the respect that he has, first of all, from Coach DeBoer, who called him the spiritual leader of the team, and then secondly, from his teammates, who have all sung his praises in the past, and then just hearing the composure he has when he speaks and the faith-driven attitude to everything that he does. He's the perfect. I cannot think of a better guy I would rather have leading my football team than Tim Keenan. Another fascinating thing, he announced earlier, it was posted out on X, donated a portion of his NIL salary to the church he goes to. Already doing that, already stepping up in the community, talked about the legacy he wants to leave. Wants to be a good football player, but wants to be remembered as a guy who was always there helping others and leaving an impact on the community. Man is going to be a beast on the field this year.
I'm a big Tim Keenan fan. I don't know that he will put the numbers up that you equate to an all-SEC defensive lineman, but I think James Smith will. Yeah, I think James Smith will. I think Tim Keenan is going to be a really quality defensive lineman this year. But it's probably more suited for that Nick Saban style. When I spoke to him today, I asked him about the differences between Coach Saban and Kane Womack, schematically speaking. And he said, yeah, obviously two gap to one gap. And I asked him about challenges. Oh, it was a challenge. But he said, if you're in the NFL, you're going to need to learn and show that you can operate in multiple different schematic ways so that you can be useful to all 32 teams. And obviously defensive coordinators come and go and packages come and go. So he wants to show teams that it doesn't matter. He's not just a straight-up nose tackle who sits there, punches the center, and doubles up the A-gap. I think that Tim Keenan is going to be a really quality player this season.
I'm standing by the comparison I've made now multiple times on the show, Dalvin Tomlinson.
Yeah.
I'm standing by that comparison. I think he can have that kind of impact both on the field and that kind of rise in the draft prospect.
We're second round draft pick.
Was a second rounder he had in New York.
New York Giants, terrible.
He was a very good player for us, though, before going to Minnesota. What about Tim Keenan on my Giants?
Oh, man, I would love Tim Keenan on my Bears, absolutely, especially right there in the middle. What do you want to talk about the rest of this? We're only going to go about 15, 20 more minutes, and I'm going to stack one of my interviews that I did. I'm either going to throw Michael Bronner on the back end or Wyatt Fulton on the back end because I talked to both those guys in the last 2 days. I did get one-on-one, about 5-6 minutes with both Tim Keenan, Deontay Lawson, and Caden Proctor. I think that Caden Proctor gave me something viral.
Really? What'd he say?
Well, I opened him up asking, oh, tell me your relationship with Wilkin Formby. That's my guy. Really complimentary. We're alike, really great friends. And I said, how much taco casa could y'all put down in a sitting? And he bit hard. He bit really hard and went, oh, 3 taco burgers, 4 enchiladas, 5 this, 8 this. And I'm thinking, yes, give it to me, man. And so here in a little bit, I am going to clip that part out and put it on the social medias. We'll tag Taco Casa in that, try to get a little traction going right there. What stood out to you today from the Alabama Day? Because really, the guys did a good job not making headlines. Coach DeBoer didn't really make any headlines. The 3 players didn't really make any headlines. You got 2 things to me, and let's see what you bite on right here. Coach DeBoer, we asked him about 8 or 9 game conference schedule, and we wrote this on BamaCentral.com. Yes. And he first opened up very diplomatically. Oh, that's above me. That decision is above my pay grade. Really referencing Greg Byrne and the Alabama administration. But at the end of his answer, he basically more or less said, I'm all in favor of competition, and adding another conference game helps us do that.
I thought that was one of the more profound things he said all day.
Yeah, and like, while it's not a out and out, I want to play 9 games. It's not, he didn't really jump to the position and then, you know, hang out there on the limb. But I do think his little branch, you know, hanging on a vine, did swing more to the 9 games rather than 8. Now, Alabama has a lot of great non-conference games coming up. Notre Dame, Ohio State, West Virginia, Arizona, Minnesota, all on their list. Boston College, Georgia Tech. Over the next decade, Alabama fans and us as a media contingent are going to see some of the greatest places in college football. And look, selfishly, Greg Byrne, please, please do not cancel those games. Please, when if the league goes to 9 games, Greg Sankey's going to get his wish because he can up the revenue with everybody. He can go to the broadcast partners and squeeze out another couple $1 billion per se, and he'll have another week of football. But Alabama's going to have a little problem because Alabama's got some years too, a couple, like next year, 3. You're going to have 3 big marquee non-conference games, USF, Wisconsin, and no, USF, Florida State, and West Virginia, excuse me. Are your 3 next year in 2026? Well, are you going to cancel any of those and get out of it and schedule the Little Sisters of the Poor instead? I think that, one, it made me super juiced up to hear Coach DeBoer give a little lean. I don't want to push him too hard into one area because he was diplomatic at the start, but I'm just reading in between the lines. It seemed like he was more comfortable or wanting to go to the 9 games. Love to see that out of our coach, kind of embracing the competition. And 2, will those non-conference games survive if the SEC adds a 9th game?
Well, I'm right in the same boat you are, Joe. I'm praying that they do. Because, I mean,
don't you want to go to the horseshoe?
I want to go to all of those. I want to hear Enter Sandman in a couple years when we go up to Virginia Tech. Like, who doesn't? You know, and I think these games are awesome for the sport. I think they're incredible. And I think the fact that we're even in a position where we have to have this debate and where it's been a genuine talking point all week from the time that Sankey gave his introduction at the beginning, 9 a.m. Monday, through now. And no, we know it'll continue into tomorrow. Where most of the coaches have, at least 7 or 8 of them have been asked about it. I don't even like that we're in this position. I think that,
hey,
I get it, I guess.
Soy boy Shane Beamer didn't want to go to nine games.
Oh, he did not want to go to nine games. Look, to an extent, I get it. Like, I get it. Like, yeah, you go out, you play Clemson every year. It's a rivalry game. And I get that making the college football playoff is how success is measured. And it brings about a huge revenue boost. And it does so much for your program. Just keep playing these games, man. It should not have to be this difficult. First of all, I do believe that the college football playoff is going to get to a point where they are showing that they really value these games that much. I think, look already at the backlash that Indiana has gotten over the past 24, 48 hours for being such cowards that they have to pay to cancel a series. It's not even a big-time team. Virginia, we're talking ACC bottom team.
Go Cavs.
Nothing against Virginia.
No, but it is what it is. Keep going. Yeah. You're right there.
The fact that we even have to have these conversations is atrocious. We just really need to get to a point where schools realize the benefits to playing these games, and the committee needs to reward schools for playing this game. That is what is going to keep interest in this sport at such a high. Look at how fed up some fans are already with all the changes that are happening. How much worse is it going to get if we start canceling non-conference games? If Alabama says, yeah, 3 bye games every year. No, do not do it. Just buckle up, play these games, suffer losses, and you know what? That leads to us maybe having a 4-loss team in the college football playoff. I don't care. I would rather a team go out, play a ton of tough games, lose a couple of them, as a school should, and still be rewarded for that, than everyone just trying to coast to, you know, a perfect non-conference record and trying to get away with playing the lightest schedules ever. It makes no sense that this is the debate we have to have, and I really hope that it does not go the opposite direction.
I mean, the sport is about manliness, is about toughness, is about who's harder, who's bigger, who's stronger. And so the schedule should reflect that.
And the 12-team playoff, one of the biggest draws to this. One, okay, obviously getting more playoff games. The other one was that this was supposed to enable schools to play these games more. It was supposed to make it okay to lose a game or two in the regular season. Now we're just at the same exact spot when now the SEC wants its guaranteed spots just so its schools can go play games. No, there are 12 playoff spots. Play the games. Come on. I'm getting fired up just talking.
I love it. I love it. We love Theo Fernandez getting fired up. You can follow Theo Fernandez at Theo Fernandez _. He's been riding his fingers off the last 3 days for BamaCentral.com, Missouri Tigers on SI, Vanderbilt Commodores on SI. Let's move to the other comment that there were no real headlines for Alabama, but the other comment that really kind of made headlines was from Deontay Lawson and Tim Keenan, and it seemed like they were both on the same page. When asked about Thomas Castellanos, oh, y'all don't have Nick Saban to save you, blah, 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 blah. Deontay Lawson and Tim Keenan essentially both echoed the same sentiment. All disrespect will be answered. Is that what it said? Is that what he said? All disrespect.
I'm pulling up, right? Disrespect will be addressed.
Addressed.
There we go.
Excuse me. Don't want to misquote him. All disrespect will be addressed. Dun, dun, dun. 44 days until kickoff right down there in Tallahassee. I don't know if what I saw was a fake quote from Castellanos. One of my Florida State friends sent me a screenshot basically saying, oh, no, those guys were 2-10 last year. I was just trying to instill confidence in them.
Direct quote. Just had to install some confidence. He said that to Isaiah Horton today.
Right, okay, perfect. That was part of that response. Because Cam Ward, old Miami quarterback, was throwing with Isaiah Horton and Thomas Castellanos, and basically Cam Ward made Castellanos say, go tell him to his face what you're talking about. And that was Castellanos' excuse. Them boys were 2-10 last year. I was just trying to instill some confidence in those guys. Not the way to do it. Not the way to do it. In my opinion. And look, you said they were 2-10 last year. Well, you were benched from a 7-6 football team. I'm not real sure if poking the bear is what you want to do, but consider the bear sufficiently poked. You got the most Alabama-esque response today by them saying all disrespect will be addressed. They didn't really even elaborate. They just kind of kept it at that. Theo, what do you think about the season opener and the defense's attitude going into Doak Campbell Stadium?
Well, we finished talking about how we really think Tim Keenan's a great guy, but I would not want him angry at me while he's trying to rush me in the pocket, man. I would be scared. And then LT Overton, like, ah, oh, those hits are going to hurt, man. I would be scared if I'm FSU. And it makes no sense. And to me, we talked a lot earlier in the week about Vanderbilt and about comments made by Diego Poppe. This feels so much different to me because this just – Vanderbilt has something to back it up off of. You beat Alabama. You took Texas to the brink. You have a great – you're off one of the best seasons you've had in recent memory. FSU, you're a QB who got benched by a mid-tier ACC school, and you're at a team coming off a 2-win season. And this is how you're talking to one of the most dominant programs in the nation. It just doesn't make sense. FSU, I think, is digging themselves into a hole that they are going to regret. And we all remember just the attitude social media had towards that FSU team. And I cannot imagine how horrible it had to be as an FSU fan, like trying to open social media at any point this season. All that Castellanos is doing right now is ensuring that if the game goes the way most people think it will week one, it's going to be another miserable experience for Florida State's whole program in the aftermath of that game.
Theo, how many colognes do you have in your closet?
I do not have 150 like Hayden Proctor.
I thought he said 170.
Maybe.
Oof.
Yeah, he's big guys stink. That's what he says. And
I think I have three little miniatures in my bag in the bathroom, and I'm obviously not as big as Caden Proctor.
If he doesn't have an NIL deal by the end of the month, then the whole system's broken, right? If some cologne company doesn't like give him his custom, like come on, man, this is
protection.
Literally
protection by Proctor,
a change up right over the middle, just waiting to be knocked out of the park. Right here. This is the easiest NIL deal of all time.
Armani, protection by Proctor. Dolce & Gabbana, protection by Proctor. Watch out, we're giving away good ideas.
Yeah, no, it's gonna be kind of sounds like a condom ad.
Well, okay, then rename it then, because they got to do something. Like, is it what is it? What's the Black Panther, Blue Panther, from Anchorman. Sex Panther, that's the one from. Works 60% of the time. It works 100% of the time. So, what would you call Caden Proctor's cologne then? Not if it's not protection by Proctor. I was just going for the alliteration. Knockout scent?
Knockout scent.
But maybe that sounds like it stinks. That sounds like it's not good.
Yeah, no, I was going to say. We'll come in Monday morning with some great ideas for this line.
Leave us a voicemail. Something. What would you title Caden Proctor's cologne, his custom cologne? 205-462-7340, extension 800.
I think there's some good ideas. We just got to think them up a little.
I'm still leaning protection by Proctor, but I think it can get beat. I think that's about a B answer. I think that there's a B plus and A minus answer as well. So we'll see. Well, we're about done here at SEC Media Days for the day. We've got Missouri, Arkansas, and Kentucky, and one more tomorrow. Who else haven't we heard from? Missouri, Arkansas,
A&M.
Texas A&M. That's right, A&M. Texas A&M and Kentucky. So another four teams tomorrow. We'll be here at least for the Missouri day. Alabama not playing Arkansas, Kentucky, or A&M, so probably going to punt on those. Theo, just wrap this up with a minute or two on your favorite thing you've seen, something else that stood out to you, maybe something I didn't bring up, anything on your brain from SEC Media Days, either today or all 3 days.
Look, this has just been such an incredible event. Grateful again to have had the opportunity to cover it so far. And one of the things that I'll say is Alabama, always known as like, oh, Saban's players, so media trained, they're not gonna say anything. And what I'll say is that we came in knowing that these were the three players that were coming. I think the general consensus among reporters was there might not be a ton of incredible content. Not that they're boring players, but that I don't think we expected a ton in the way of personality, fun answers. I will say, I was pleasantly surprised by the amount of, I'd say, first of all, personality flair that we got out of them. So I'm kind of wondering, not that they're moving away from that Saban level of, oh, like, everything's typecast, like, robotic almost.
The process.
I almost wonder if, okay, maybe now there's some more breathing room there. Because nothing at all provocative or, you know, possibly that's going to offend another team was said at all. But with that being said, it felt a little different to me than what I'm used to in the past. So I don't know, were you picking that up at all, Joe?
I do feel like Caden Proctor showed me more personality than I was expecting in our one-on-ones. Mm-hmm. And I do think that Deontay Lawson was more open today than really I have ever heard him. And Tim Keenan's always been just a little bit more, not braggadocious by any means, but he's always been able to show his personality to a degree. I'll go with you. It was more interesting today than maybe I was expecting. Not in the sense of, oh, here's a spicy quote or here's bulletin board material, but in the sense of they showed their own personalities a bit more than maybe the Saban robots would have ever shown.
I'd say in a very healthy way.
Yeah, absolutely. None of them made a fool of themselves by any means. None of them, you know, said anything too outlandish by any means at all. But I will agree with you that there was just 3-4% more personality than maybe I was expecting.
Which, look, as reporters, we love that.
1,000%.
Yes.
This show is brought to you by Derek Daniels, State Farm Insurance. We haven't told you about Derek in a day or so because everything's been so busy. But make sure you call Derek Daniels for all of your insurance needs. 205-758-3391. We're live in the College Football Hall of Fame. We're going to be here for one more day. Derek Daniels is going to be in the office 5 days a week, right there in Northport, just past the Tiger Rock, just past the Rustic Rehab on the left. Call him at 205-758-3391. Home, life, auto insurance, renter's insurance. The boat season's starting to come down, so if you're buying a boat late, you can get your boat insured by Derek Daniel. Bundle all of your insurance together and save some money. Call him today, 205-758-3391.
This Black Friday, get 6 months free when you move your WordPress sites to Kinsta. Enjoy faster load times, no stress when traffic spikes, and hosting you can actually count on. We're G2's number one rated host for WordPress. For a reason. Visit kinsta.com/BF. That's KINSTA.com/BF. Don't miss out. Offer ends December 2nd.
Big news! The sale of the season is here. It's Wayfair's Black Friday sale, and it's on now. Right now, get up to 80% off everything home and everything you need for the season ahead. Save on quality furniture for every room in the house. Essentials for the guest room, whether it's new bedding or a new mattress. Kitchen and dining must-haves for all your hosting needs. And seasonal home finds like throw pillows and decor. Or favorites that you'll use all year long. And with amazing doorbuster deals from November 27th through December 2nd, you can shop the things you love at even lower prices at Wayfair. Plus, you can sit back and relax with Wayfair's fast and easy shipping. Everything home comes straight to your home. And the best part? Free delivery just in time for the holidays. This Black Friday, Wayfair deals are bigger and better than ever. There's no place like home for the holidays. And no place like Wayfair for Black Friday savings. So don't wait. Black Friday ends soon. Shop Wayfair's Black Friday sale now and save up to 80% off at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Now, we're going to conclude this program with one of our interviews. I think that I'm going to go ahead and play Wyatt Fulton from Tide 100.9. He joined me yesterday right here from Radio Row. You hear him in the afternoons from 1 to 2 p.m. on 100.9 T-Town Sports Daily. He's interviewed a lot of great guests this week as well, and he is a lot more football focused than I am. You know, we love football on this show, but we like to color outside the lines as well. I think Wyatt Fulton likes to keep it inside the white lines and all about ball. So we encourage you to check out his show on Tide 100.9 and enjoy our interview with Wyatt yesterday right here at College Football Media Days. We'll wrap up the show with that, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow right here on the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central and BamaCentral.com. We're back live right here at SEC Media Days, and I'm here with Wyatt Fulton. You hear him every day on Tide 100.9, T-Town Sports Daily, 1 to 2 in the afternoon, leading right into Ryan Fowler. You follow him on the Twitter machine at FultonW underscore. We're going to sit here and talk some Alabama Crimson Tide. Wednesday is Alabama Day right here at SEC Media Days. We're here at the College Football Hall of Fame. Recording on a Tuesday, so we're just ahead of hearing from them. Texas is up next at the podium. We've already heard from a lot of Alabama's rivals. Just Wyatt, through a day and a half, a day and three quarters. What have been your overall impressions of SEC Media Day so far?
It's been a ton of fun getting to talk a lot of SEC football here, and I think probably the winner of Media Days, this is going to be really bad for my listeners in Tuscaloosa here, but I think Auburn's kind of won Media Days here. You've kind of heard people trying to bait Hugh Freeze, even my question asking him, you're 0-4 against Georgia and Alabama, and he's handled it really, really well, I think, especially at the podium.
Yeah, I mean, and he kind of brushed off the golf questions. He's not really biting on those comments, and he's brushing off any Lane Kiffin trolling comments. So really, for Hugh Freeze, it's going to be what happens not August 1st, but at the end of the month, September all the way through November. Since we're on Auburn, what are we thinking? What are you thinking for the Tigers this year?
I think you look at Auburn, and I just got off the conversation with an Auburn guy, so I'm kind of having his thoughts in my head here too a little bit. That first week against Baylor is going to be super, super important.
Massive.
Playing on the road at Baylor, you're playing a really, really good Big 12 team, and so you've got to win that football game. Otherwise, you might be, 2-4 to start the season, playing at Oklahoma against Texas A&M, getting Georgia at home as well. There's a real possibility if Auburn loses that Baylor game, they're 2-4 to start the year, and you're having a really uncomfortable conversation about Hugh Freeze. It would be the fourth time this decade Auburn starts a head coaching search.
Oh, my goodness. And Auburn doesn't need that. I mean, obviously, for our perspectives, we're all really looking at things through the Alabama lens, and it's better when Alabama's on top of the rivalry, but it's also better when the rivalry's good,
yeah.
When the rivalry's competitive, when that last weekend is kind of stressful.
It's definitely a lot of fun. I always say college football is a lot more fun when rivalry week is really, really interesting.
Yes.
So when you get, USC Notre Dame and they're having their big fight, you're having, the game between Ohio State and Michigan. Of course, nothing beats the Iron Bowl between Alabama and Auburn. So when those games are fun, when they're interesting, especially when you get down, on the plane, start getting kind of that Tiger voodoo once it turns into a night game late in the fourth quarter, those are the really, really interesting ones. So from an Alabama perspective, yeah, it's fun to watch Auburn be really, really bad. But from a media perspective and a college football fan perspective, college football's even better when the Iron Bowl's super entertaining.
We're talking to Wyatt Fulton. You hear his program right there on Tide 100.9, 1 to 2 in the afternoons, T-Town Sports Daily. Let's get down to business. Alabama. Alabama's on deck tomorrow morning. Will we have any headlines at all? Kalen DeBoer has been the master of saying a lot, but not saying anything over, 15 months now?
Yeah.
He's bringing Deontay Lawson, who really is not one for a soundbite. Caden Proctor, we haven't heard much from him in his time in Tuscaloosa. Tim Keenan has been a little more willing to say a thing or two,
yeah,
but still very reserved. Will Alabama make any headlines tomorrow?
I think you're getting your very typical, your prototypical Alabama day. Kalen DeBoer is going to come out. He's going to get asked a question about Ty Simpson, and it's going to be, we're having a competition. He's probably going to echo the sentiment that Ryan Grubb shared. Hey, if we have to play a game tomorrow, probably going to be Ty Simpson. He's probably going to share that sentiment tomorrow. That's going to grab the headlines, but that's nothing new. We heard that from Ryan Grubb in April. We heard it from him on our program here on Tide, or on Tide 100.9 over there. And so that's going to be your big headline. But outside of that, I think you're going to get a prototypical Alabama day. The secondary is going to get a lot of hype. Ryan Williams is going to get a lot of hype, all very much deserved. But and then, of course, you'll talk a lot of trench play with Tim Keenan and Caden Proctor being in town.
Well, Wyatt, what do you think about it? Is Ty Simpson going to be the guy this year?
I think he's going to be the guy. I think I'd say 99% confident that week one, it is going to be Ty Simpson. You don't throw a true freshman out there in Keelon Russell in a road environment like Doak Campbell Stadium in Florida State. You just don't do that if you want that quarterback to have success. So week one, I'm like 99% confident it's going to be Ty Simpson. As you start to move through the season, you see kind of how Ty's playing out. You don't need 4,500 yards passing from Ty Simpson this season.
What about 3,600? That's where our over-unders were last week.
Yeah, I think 3,600 is definitely doable. I'd say you need B-plus to A-minus quarterback play from Ty Simpson. So if you're on a school grade scale, you're looking at like an 89 or to a 91. That's what you need from Ty Simpson this season. And at that point, you're looking at least a 10-2 record, and you're putting Alabama in the college football playoff when you talk about a 10-2 record.
Absolutely. 10-2 is going to be really, I mean, a step forward from last year.
Yeah.
The road schedule, really, really brutal. You're at Florida State. You're at Georgia. You're at South Carolina. You're at Missouri, maybe a sneaky one.
Yeah.
You're also at Auburn. What's your take on the way the schedule really lines up for Alabama? You get all the revenge games back in Tuscaloosa, mm-hmm. Vanderbilt, Tennessee, Oklahoma, everybody coming back to Bryant-Denny Stadium to maybe try to get the retribution there. What's your thoughts on just how the way the schedule plays out?
I actually think the schedule plays out decently favorable for Alabama. You get that first road test, which is going to unite this team against Florida State. And so now you've got that close-knit team, that brotherhood there at that point. And so you get that against Florida State. Then you get two home games against ULM and Wisconsin. Wisconsin, you watched what they did last year up in Madison. They're going to do the same thing again back in Tuscaloosa. Then you get the bye week to spend that extra time focusing on Georgia. Yes, Georgia's going to be tough. It's a night game in Sanford Stadium. Kirby Smart said it today when you asked him the question. That's going to be an incredible environment there in Sanford Stadium. So you look at Georgia, that's going to be really, really tough. Then you get the home game against Vanderbilt, right? Then you go on the road to Missouri. That's my trap game here. I think that is for you guys as well.
Ugh.
That's kind of the trap environment.
Sleepy
there.
Game in Columbia, not really into it. In between Vanderbilt, and Tennessee, not good.
Tennessee, you get that revenge game in Tuscaloosa. I asked Josh Heupel today. He's 2-2. The two losses have come in Tuscaloosa, so I feel really good about that matchup there. You get South Carolina on the road. There, Lenore Sellers is my. I don't want to call him a dark horse, but he's one of my candidates to go to New York.
Oh, yeah.
LSU at home. We know what Alabama does to LSU at home. Oklahoma at home, the revenge game. I like Oklahoma a lot this year. I think that could be a sneaky kind of game there as well, but that's back in Tuscaloosa. Eastern Illinois, can we take a week off? Like, can we just go home for that week? And then, of course, the Iron Bowl down at Auburn. So, I think 10-2 is kind of this little sweet spot that you're looking at for Alabama.
All right, so let's say it goes wrong. It's not 10-2. It's 8-4 instead.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
First off, it's three big road trips. It's at Georgia, it's at South Carolina, and it's on the road at Auburn. Maybe Georgia, we talk about offensive line play with Georgia losing Jared Wilson, Dylan Fairchild, and Tate Ratledge. Maybe that offensive line takes that next step, and they're able to run the ball super effectively against Alabama. South Carolina, I know as much as we love to talk about Kane Womack and his defensive scheme, mobile quarterbacks gave him problems last year. So you look at Lenora Sellers and you say, okay, that was that. Maybe Auburn has that, 8-4 type of season where, you look at them and say, all right, they beat Baylor, they beat, Ball State, South Alabama, and then lose the four biggest games of their year. But that's still 8-4 for Auburn. And then it's just another, maybe it's a sleeper game somewhere in there. Missouri once again. Maybe it's Oklahoma coming in with John Mateer and Jaden Ott and bringing in Ben Arbuckle from Washington State as well.
Yeah, we're hanging out with Wyatt Fulton. Let's make it more specific to Alabama for what went wrong or what might go wrong. Excuse me. What's your biggest concern for the team? Position or depth or maybe anything? What is your concern for this Crimson Tide team? Last year at this time, we were all talking secondary. That proved to be unfounded. The secondary was really strong. What are we thinking is the concern for the Crimson Tide?
For me, I'm going to remove the quarterback position because that's the big question mark, right? So not talking quarterbacks here. It's the run game. We think that this run game is going to be really, really good, but you kind of seen some struggles from Jam Miller. Richard Young doesn't really have the reps to kind of know what Richard Young is going to be. Same thing with Daniel Hill and A.K. Deere, Dre Washington. You know, I think if Dre Washington's your best running back this year, that running game's not going to have a really good season here. No disrespect to him, but it's going to be a rough year if he's your best running back. And then to combine that, it's the run game, so that includes the offensive line as well. You're going to have a regression at left guard. I don't care who's taking that spot because you're losing Tyler Booker at that point. And then maybe it's right tackle. You know, Wilkin Formby maybe doesn't take that step that you want Wilkin Formby to take. And then at that point, you're looking at a true freshman and Jackson Lloyd to play right tackle for you if you're Alabama at that point. So if it is on Alabama, the reason that they maybe don't go 100% the way they wanted to, I think it's going to be the run game. They're going to put a little too much pressure on a guy like Ty Simpson, and that's where I think you can see Alabama get hurt.
All right, so if it goes 10-2, maybe 12-0, is it because the defense is going to be so strong that it lets the offense figure out those questions that you just brought up while as the season goes on? I mean, the defense gives me chills thinking about how strong they could be.
This defense, last year's defense was the best defense scoring-wise since Jeremy Pruitt was the defensive coordinator at Alabama. I think this defense has the potential to be the best defense since 2012. Mm-hmm. Maybe even 2011 when, you know, in the national title, you don't let LSU cross the 50-yard line in that game. I think this defense can be really, really solid. You know Tim Keenan's going to be the dog in the middle of that defensive line. James Smith is going to be a superstar as well, you think. LT Overton, I think he's going to be able to complete a lot more of those sacks that he struggled with last year.
The almost sacks.
Yes. Led the team in pressures, was like ninth on the team in sacks. I think that'll change a little bit this season. Quay Russo, you need him to develop that pass rush package. Experience at linebacker is huge this year. Mekhi Hill Green, Justin Jefferson, Deontay Lawson. Even though Lawson's not 100% healthy starting the fall camp a little bit, you expect him to be ready to go. So having that veteran experience in there. And this might be the best secondary since Pat Surtain was roaming the secondary here in Tuscaloosa. Damani Jackson, Xavien Brown, Keon Sapp, Bray Hubbard. I said it all last year. The defense almost got better when Bray Hubbard entered the lineup. So now you're going to have him as a full-time starter. And by the way, you've got a 6'4" freak of nature in Dijon Lee hanging out on the bench. You've got Chuck McDonald, who I think is a really big sleeper in this recruiting class, hanging out on the bench. And Xavier Mincy, who started the bowl game last year. He's your third safety. So you look at this secondary, I think this could be the best secondary since Pat Surtain was hanging around Tuscaloosa.
Well, we're live here at SEC Media Days. We've been hanging out with Wyatt Fulton. Check out his show on Tide 100.9, T-Town Sports Daily, 1 to 2 p.m. right there in the afternoons. You can download the Tide 100.9 app, read all of his great work as well. Follow him on the Twitter machine at FultonW_. Anything else you want to leave the people with? What do we not cover about Alabama?
The kicking, the punting.
Oh, my gosh. That's on my note card for Kalen DeBoer tomorrow. Everybody's gone, you know, quarterback, right tackle, is Lawson going to be healthy enough? You're losing really your entire special teams unit.
Yeah. Nealon Hibbett, James Burnup, Graham Nicholson, all out of eligibility from last year. And in the case of Nealon Hibbett and James Burnup, two All-American candidates on special teams. And so you're having to replace those guys. That's going to be really, really big for Alabama. If, I'll go back to your other question, if something goes wrong and it's kind of on Alabama, it could be the special teams unit. Maybe a botched snap here or there. Maybe a shank punt that knocked off the side of the foot because you didn't have experience. Maybe it is, you know, a missed field goal or something like that costing you a three-point loss at some point. So special teams are going to be quietly a very big point of emphasis for Alabama this season.
Absolutely. Check out Wyatt Fulton on Tide 100.9, 1 to 2 p.m. Wyatt, thanks so much for joining me, man.
Appreciate you, man.
Absolutely. We got to get downstairs. It's Arch Madness about to happen.
Arch Manning time, baby. Let's go. Manning Madness.
We'll see you later.
Thanks for joining us on today's edition of the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central. Keep up with Joe on all his social media pages at JoeGaither6. Subscribe, rate, and review the show on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, and be sure to read us daily at BamaCentral.com.